As the Trump administration's trade dispute with China drags on, we're continuing our look at how that's affecting various local companies. Brad Dechter is the president of Dependable Hawaiian Express, DHX. That's a logistics company that provides freight services serving Hawaii, the U.S. mainland, and Asia. DHX is also an importer. It purchases materials and equipment from China to support its own operations. Brad spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty about how his company's feeling the effects of tariffs on Chinese goods.
First of all, working with our customers, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy at all. They see their bills going up, and there's no real payoff in it for them. They either pass it along to their customers, and their customers are upset about it, or they end up absorbing it, which they're upset about. From my standpoint as a service provider, our profits don't change when we go ahead and extend those duties and tariffs out to the government on behalf of our customers. So it's driving our rate of return on our dollars down. So it tends to inflate the transaction value. And it's an in and out with no profit. So it's just our cash being used with no payoff. We don't charge an additional fee, et cetera, for advancing those monies to customs.
So your company is actually the first one paying the tax, paying the tariff, and then your customers would reimburse you?
Yeah, it depends. There are two ways that goes. Some customers have their own accounts with customs, so they'll pay it directly. We just notify them of the amount. But most of our customers are small and medium-sized businesses that don't have those types of accounts with customs. So, yes, we go ahead and pay the funds on our customers' behalf, and then they reimburse us.
Could you give me a brief sense of who some of your customers are? What kind of businesses are they in? What kinds of products are they bringing in?
Oh, all kinds. We have tile customers. We have radiator customers. We have shelving customers. A lot of different business use type customers. We used to do a lot of consumer type products, clothing, etc. But a lot of that has dried up, and it really doesn't exist anymore. The whole market has sort of changed. It's funny, but I am on the advisory board of the University of Southern California, USC, supply chain program. And last August, USC had their annual summit, and there was a guy there who was, I think, assistant director from the Commerce Department. And I asked point blank at that time, because we had seen basically our exports to China sort of dry up. And I said to him, is there an informal boycott we don't know about going on where the Chinese are now not buying goods from the United States? And he looked at me and said, we're not aware of that. We'll get back to you. Well, nobody ever got back to me, and our exports to China haven't improved. The Chinese have got a system whereby they can pass a word and make things happen, and nobody ever knows. But I think we saw a boycott of our goods way before any of this went, escalated. As soon as these things came out, they were sending a message, don't screw around. But we continued to. At least that's my take on things. So we've seen our export business to Asia sort of dry up. On the import sides, we're paying out a lot more dollars, but not seeing any profits. It's a tough year if you're in the logistics service providing business and you're handling imports and exports. It's been a very tough year.
So what changes have you had to make as the person actually moving things from China to the United States? And what changes have you seen your customers have to make?
Well, I haven't seen my customers make too much in terms of changes, other than they're buying less. So I guess it's at some point, even though the imports were rushing in heavily at one point, that was being done because not all the tariffs were enforced and people were trying to beat the deadline. I would think that at some point they're going to start slowing up as the duties come on to all the other items that exist. Now, it may reduce our trade surplus, but if it does, it's because everybody's paying duties, and those duties ultimately will be absorbed by U.S. companies or passed on to the U.S. Purchasers. What the changes I've seen is I've had to reduce the size of my staff in Hong Kong and Singapore and Shanghai because the activity just isn't there the way it used to be.
Some of the managers and business owners that I've spoken with have said that they're already exploring alternatives to Chinese producers if they haven't already made the switch. Is that something you've evidenced in the goods that you're shipping and the traffic that you're handling?
Well, I've seen it over the years, but frankly, this happened about 2 or 3 years ago. See, what happened was as China's middle class grew, labor got more expensive. As these people moved into the cities and needed housing and places to stay, the average wages in China grew, and that got passed on there. So there are places like it used to be all the garments were manufactured in China. Well, between the pollution issues that that caused in China, as well as wages being raised, most of the people that ran those factories have now moved those factories to Vietnam or other places where the labor is cheaper and the laws about pollution aren't as tough. And China never had tough laws, but they've gotten tougher in the last few years, and what will happen is they'll go over to Vietnam, they'll pollute that, and then in 2 or 3 years, the Vietnamese will start saying, we can't have all of our rivers polluted, and they'll start putting in new laws, and then they'll move somewhere else. There's a lot of that that goes on. Factories that get moved to the cheapest labor and or least, those that have the least pollution laws.
Okay. Brad, one of the issues that's been raised as I've been having these conversations is the uncertainty factor that importers, people who are bringing in goods from China, don't know what tariff they're going to have to pay when their good arrives because the tariffs have been kind of raised in an erratic or unpredictable manner, and a lot of people don't know exactly when their container is going to hit the port because some of these things are ordered months in advance. So could you explain a little bit of what actually goes on down at a port, at a customs facility, when we've got a container ship coming in from China or some foreign port? How does that all play out?
I can't exactly tell you how it works. I know that what happens is based on manifests coming into the country, customs will normally select some containers to be examined. They will look at others for what the goods are to make sure that they're described properly. They may look for bug infestations, but they look for different things depending on which part of it the world it's from. It could be infestation. Depending on if they think somebody's misdescribing a product to try to get around the duties, they may select that. And it really does vary. I know when we first ordered our building for Honolulu, it was a metal building. Well, it was manufactured in China. So the building, my contractor calls me up and says, I hate to tell you this, we got another $400,000 in duties we have to pay because the building's coming in. When I bought my pallet racking, we did get stuck. I think it was like all in all, fees, duties, et cetera, another $60,000, $70,000, like a 10% upcharge on what we thought we were paying. And that's money we'll never see back.
So, Brad, looking big picture, it's now looking like this dispute is not going to be resolved anytime soon. What are you thinking about long term as you make your plans for the next several years?
Well, it's very tough for us on the global side at this point to make any plans. Every day is a different day. You talk about the disruption in the speed of business. Well, right now we can't even plan because we don't know what's going to happen next. It's just, I've never been in this type of a world. And I've been doing this here for 36 years. And it's sad because you don't know what's going to happen next. So it's not business as usual. It's business on your tippy toes, trying to stay ahead of the game or at least even with it.
All right. We'll have to leave it at that. Brad Dechter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Brad Dechter is the president of DHX, Dependable Hawaiian Express. You can find the rest of our series on how local companies are feeling the heat from the trade dispute at hawaiipublicradio.org.